every Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m. right after Howlin' the Blues.
This is 90.1 KPFT FM and FM HD1 Houston, with translators at 89.5 FM K208DG Galveston and 91.9 FM K220KC Huntsville. Houston's community station, 90.1 KPFT, a Pacifica radio station.
Welcome to So What's Your Story, the only program originating in Houston devoted to storytelling. And it's only found on Houston's community station, KPFT. I'm Larry Thompson, and I'm here to entertain with another fine storyteller tonight. Now, you've tuned your radio or your computer or your tablet or your phone to 90.1 So What's Your Story. You listen to 90.1 KPFT, Houston's community station, which is listener supported. I'm sure you see the connection. And if you haven't heard it yet, it's pledge time again. You can easily become a member right now or change your annual membership to a sustaining one. Call 713-526-5738, or you can give at kpft.org when you're not driving in your car. Membership in community stations like this one, like KPFT, is truly a gift that keeps on giving. Tonight's fabulous crop of stories is coming to you from my guest, Mary Ann Blue. Mary Ann was born in Oklahoma and found her storytelling gift while preparing for a Christmas program. And she was barely past 3 years old. She's a retired Spanish teacher. She's a bilingual storyteller from San Antonio. And she's been telling stories all over Texas for more than 30 years, including on episodes of PBS Television's Barney and Friends. Welcome, Mary Ann. I don't believe our KPFT listeners have heard you on So What's Your Story before. I hope you're excited to be here.
I am indeed. Larry, it's great fun to join you tonight.
Well, we're looking forward to some pretty darn good stories. And you and I, we've known each other for years now. I know you like to say you were raised under the influence of the silver screen. And I believe comes from your early days in Tulsa, where your father ran the Admiral Twin Drive-In Theater. Now, your first story tonight is Saturday Afternoon Matinee at the Drive-In Movie. Now, this has to tie into your childhood, right?
Oh, yeah, it certainly does. So right now, let's go back to 1953. How much is that dog in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that dog in the window? Oh, oh. I do hope that dog is for sale. Patty Page topped the charts in 1953 with How Much Is That Doggy in the Window? And I was 4 years old, and life was about to change forever. My daddy came home one day from work and set my brother and me down and told us that we were moving. We were leaving McAllister, Oklahoma. We couldn't leave McAllister. That meant I'd have to leave Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys. Why, they played at the Navy Ammunition Depot lots of Saturday nights. We'd sit out on our front porch and listen to them. I thought Bob Wills was singing just to me. I was going to marry Bob Wills. But move we did. We moved to Tulsa. because my daddy had bought the Admiral Drive-In Theater, and life for the Blues would never be the same. Well, I was pretty lonely at first. I still had my big brother Phil, but he was too old to play with me. Had my dog Mutt. And soon I had a rather impressive group of imaginary friends, including, I might add, the newly crowned Queen Elizabeth. She'd come by for tea from time to time, join me and my dolls. Sometimes she'd bring her boy Charles with her. He was just my age. But my imaginary world really came alive at the Admiral Drive-In. One of the first movies that my daddy showed after we moved to Tulsa was Gentlemen Prefer Blondes with Jane Russell and Marilyn Monroe. I assumed the identity of Lorelei Lee, Marilyn's character. I walked around the house in my bathing suit and a pair of my mama's high heel shoes. And I talked in a voice like this, and I answered only to Lorelei. But my daddy and I started a Saturday afternoon routine. He would go for a couple of hours on Saturday afternoons to the drive-in to do the bookkeeping. And he'd take me along with him sometimes. Now, I helped. I would sit in the office with him, and I would add up long lists of numbers on the adding machine. It was great fun. Then, when I got older, he would let me stamp his signature into big pads of free passes that he'd give out to people. He loved to give out free passes to the drive-in. And when I was older, he'd let me answer the phone and give out the show times. But eventually I'd get bored with office work and I'd head into the concession where I would find my own private movie set. And I was Debbie Reynolds. I hear the cottonwoods whispering above, Tammy, Tammy, Tammy's in love. Or maybe I'd be Doris Day. Pillow talk, another night of hearing myself go talk, talk, talk. Or maybe I'd go out on the patio and I'd be Gene Kelly, just dancing and singing in the rain. I'd make myself a suicide drink out of all the different flavors of soda pop in the concession stand. And then I'd go out to play. Now, that did not mean the kids' playground. No, the entire drive-in was my playground. I'd saddle up my imaginary horse, Lightning, and I'd go exploring. I pretty much explored every inch of that drive-in, except one. It wasn't really forbidden. I just shouldn't go there. I really mustn't. Now, at nighttime, there was one place that was forbidden. My mama had completely forbidden me to ever go to the back three ramps of the drive-in. And, well, you know, she forbid me to do it, so I had to go check it out. And I don't know what the big deal was, because I got back there and all I saw was row after row of empty cars. But during the day, there was a place that was, well, just unthinkable. But I was not afraid. I want that to be clear. No, growing up at the drive-in movies, I knew real fear. I knew drive-in movie fear, and I'm not just talking quicksand. Drive-in movie fear, being eaten alive by African army ants. That's drive-in movie fear. Drive-in movie fear, being shot in a bank robbery, having to wake up a vet in the middle of the night to dig the bullet out. A vet that can be trusted to keep his mouth shut. Drive-in movie fear. Being sent to the chair for a murder I didn't commit. But today, today, I was in gunfight at the OK Corral. Now, I was not Rhonda Fleming. Burt Lancaster puts her on a stage to Abilene halfway through that movie. That is not a good part. So I was just going to be a gunslinger today. Have a little fun. I'd already been wounded earlier in the gunfight, and they had to take me over to Doc Holliday's room up above the saloon. Doc Holliday was played by Kirk Douglas, and he was a dentist, but he was good enough to take care of this. It was a flesh wound, so he gave me a swig of whiskey and patched me up, and I stumbled back out onto the street. It was Tombstone. I saw Marshal Wyatt Earp, played by Burt Lancaster. He was calling up to a bad guy up in the hotel window, played by Dennis Hopper. "Billy, throw down your gun and come out." And I walked into the saloon. The bartender warned me, "You're walking into a stat deck." I could see the door at the back of the saloon. The unthinkable. But I was thinking about it. And I loosened my holster, got my sixth gun ready. Took a deep breath, and big as you please, I walked right through the men's restroom door. Now, I don't really know what I was expecting to find. It was just stalls on one side, lavatories on the other. I was turning around to leave when I saw it. Oh, this was good. This was better than I had hoped for. But what on earth was it? It was white porcelain, and it was hanging off of the wall. It was too long and too narrow to be a bathtub. You know, it really kind of looked like a horse trough. But in my wildest imagination, and I had one, I could not imagine John Wayne taking his horse in there to get a drink of water. I was going to have to ask my brother Phil about this. Phil was 12 and a half. He knew everything. Well, as I got older, the drive-in expanded. My father built the second side, and it became a twin. The number one entertainment spot in Tulsa and the biggest drive-in in the Southwest. But as I got older, I spent fewer Saturdays at the drive-in. I did learn to drive at the Admiral Twin. My daddy would toss me the keys to his car. He looked me in the eye and warned me, "Don't hit any speaker posts." And I'd get in the car and drive down the ramps looking for Troy Donahue. Yeah, I grew up on Route 66 at the Admiral Twin Drive-In. I saw Elvis make his screen debut in Love Me Tender. Alfred Hitchcock scared the daylights out of me in Psycho. I witnessed more gunfights, cattle drives, and saloon brawls than any kid my age. But my favorite memory has got to be when I co-starred with Debbie Reynolds, Doris Day, Gene Kelly, Burt Lancaster, and Kirk Douglas in the Saturday afternoon matinee at the drive-in movies.
Fantastic. Now, Queen Elizabeth showed up for tea.
She did. Did you get an invite
to her birthday? She just had a birthday. Did she?
She did not. You know, I think she's lost track of me. I don't think she knows where I live anymore.
You forget the little people. That's what happens. You get famous and forget the little people. Now your next story you titled Phil's Tattoo. Now, is this also a drive-in tale?
Well, you know, anytime we're talking about my childhood, the drive-in is going to come into it. This one is really about my brother Phil, though. And I was watching, this was years ago. I was watching TV late one night, and there was something on there about Johnny Depp and how when he was going out with Winona Ryder years ago, he had Winona Forever tattooed onto his arm. Now, how dumb is that? And everybody knows that Hollywood relationships don't last, and tattoos do. And that reminded me of the time my brother Phil tattooed himself. The year was 1957. And Phil worked for our dad at the Admiral Twin Drive-In in Tulsa. And I like to say that our whole family lived under the influence of the silver screen. During that time, I lived under lots of influence. Maybe about that time I was in 57, it was probably Shirley Jones in Oklahoma and Carousel. My mother raised me on Hollywood musicals. And my daddy, though, he was living under the influence of Spencer Tracy as Father Flanagan in Boys Town. I guess he figured if Spencer Tracy could straighten up Mickey Rooney was a hard one in that movie, that Alex Blue could do some good work for a bunch of teenage boys who'd had a brush or two with the law. And he hired them. He gave them jobs and a fresh start. And they were called the Admiral Twin Crew. And my brother worked on the crew too. They were all under the influence of James Dean in Rebel Without a Cause, you can imagine. And during the day, they'd pick up speakers, put them on the hooks, turn them off, clean the trash up, and change the marquee. And at night, though, it was a little more exciting. They worked in the concession stand. Go, man, go, it's not very far. Shake it on down to that cool snack bar. Come on, Jill, give us a treat. A friendly pepper-upper with a tasty beat. Drink Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper, because it never lets you down. Frosty, man, Frosty. You open up the doors to the concession stand and get hit in the face with the wonderful smell of fresh popped popcorn. The Admiral Twin crew might serve you a burger and fries, a barbecue sandwich, a corny dog, or fried chicken. And you could wash it down with a Coke, a Dr. Pepper, a root beer, or an orange drink, maybe a 7-Up. Then suddenly, a buzzer would ring. The buzzer would sound a warning. Someone in the box office had spotted a car running the exit. That meant they had turned their headlights off. They had eased up to the gate and had run through the exit gate and whipped into a parking place. The buzzer went off, the doors to the concession stand would fly open, and the Admiral drive-in crew would surround the car and demand to see the ticket stubs. Now, of course, the number one method of unlawful entry into the drive-in, I'm sure some of the people listening tonight have done it, and that's sneaking in the trunk of the car. Now, once again, you might get busted by the Admiral Twin crew, usually a James Dean wannabe, with his hair brill creamed up and a black leather jacket, maybe even a small homemade tattoo. And so that's kind of how things rolled at the Admiral Twin. And in 1957, my brother Phil was singing with a quartet. They sang that intricate harmony doo-wop music. Some of you might remember it. Don't know why I love you like I do. They wore white sport coats with pink carnations in the lapels when they sang. 15-year-old girls would follow my brother home from school and fling themselves on our front porch. Phil was in heaven. And it was during that time that Phil fell in love with Gloria Jones, known to her public simply as Glow. Now, Glow had platinum bleached hair slicked back in a duck tail with spit curls in front of her ears. She wore tight sweaters and tight skirts and lots of eye makeup. She was a lot of girlfriend for a ninth grader. Phil wanted the world to know that Glow was his girlfriend. So he decided to tattoo Glow onto his arm. The Admiral Twin crew had been experimenting with homemade tattoos, and he knew how to do it. So he got himself some India ink and a needle, and he went to work. Now, it was a discreet tattoo. Small block letters, G-L-O, right on the front of his wrist where he could hide it with his watch or a long sleeve shirt. Because remember, this was 1957, Oklahoma. The only people that had tattoos were sailors, circus performers, and members of motorcycle gangs. Well, it wasn't more than about 3 or 4 days, and Gloria broke up with Phil. She left him with a broken heart and, well, you might say a glowing arm. So he had to get rid of it. Well, his friend Gordy McFadden had read in a magazine you could take a tattoo off the same way you put it on, except instead of using the India ink, you used buttermilk. So Phil got himself a needle and some buttermilk, and he went to work. But ooh, that buttermilk really did sting bad. So he decided that he'd just change the tattoo. Now, today, lasers, you can change a tattoo pretty easily. Why, Johnny Depp, his tattoo no longer says Winona forever. It says Wino forever. So Phil was taking Spanish at the time, and he looked in the dictionary and found that lobo, L-O-B-O, meant wolf in Spanish. He could live his life with lobo on his arm. So he added a B-O onto the end, and now he just had to get rid of the G. But the G didn't budge. It smudged a little, and Phil was still left with a Spanish word on his arm. Global. Balloon. Well, Phil claimed it was a solid year before our mother found out. He had kept it well hidden, and finally somebody tipped her off. Our mom was under the influence of every musical Hollywood had ever brought to the screen. And I guess she thought that living with the with Globo on his arm was punishment enough for Phil. So she simply walked into Phil's room one night while he was doing his algebra, and she quoted a line from an Irving Berlin song from the movie No Business Like Show Business. She said, "Phil, a sailor's not a sailor till a sailor's been tattooed." She turned on her heel and walked out of his room and just left him to let that soak in. Now, Phil spent the rest of his life with Globo on his arm. And I always hoped that when Phil looked down at that tattoo, he didn't think about that whole botched tattoo fiasco. I hoped that when he looked at Globo, he didn't think about Gloria Jones, the girl who broke his heart. Known to her public simply as Glow. No, when Phil looked down at Globo on his arm, I hoped that he remembered 1957, when he was at the height of his musical career, singing with the Four Barons. They sang that intricate harmony. Doo-wop music. Some of you might remember that. Silhouette, 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 silhouettes are two silhouettes on the shade.
Fantastic. Now, folks, this is So What's Your Story? And we bring you stories all the time, but they don't always include musical accompaniment. So thank you, Mary Ann, for bringing that to us to enrich us. You're listening here on KPFT 90.1, Houston's community station, 89.5 in Galveston, 91.9 in Houston. Don't forget KPFT's free internet on HD2 meets your news, arts, and entertainment needs. We're proud to be here because just as KPFT is Houston's community station, so What's Your Story is Houston's community show. Our guests are ordinary folks with extraordinary stories to tell, just like that one there from Marianne. Now, KPFT can't bring you all these stories, all the music, all the other fine programming you hear without your support. You tune in to Houston's community station, KPFT, because you know you'll hear the finest and widest variety of programming in Houston. It's people just like you that make all this possible. Call us now, pledge your support, 713-526-5738, or give online at kpft.org. And please consider making your contribution a sustaining one or automatically renewing membership. Helps us support the station in a very real way. Now, Marianne, we're going to shift gears here because when you were 15, you studied Spanish in summer school in Monterey Institute of Technology in Monterey, Mexico. Now, that's where you first fell in love with the language and culture of Mexico, I'm sure. And your next stories are going to showcase your bilingual storytelling style. Tell us a couple of Tio Conejo stories.
Oh, I love Tio Conejo. And I think you will too. Long time ago, the animals all got along pretty well with each other, except for one, Rabbit, better known as Tio Conejo. Now, Tio Conejo was busy one day. He was cleaning out some vines and wrapping them together and making himself a rope. And who should come sneaking up behind him? The one guy he didn't want to see. He never wanted to see. And that was Señor Tigre, the tiger. He was going to eat all the small animals that he could sink his claws into. And he especially loved to chase after Tio Conejo. Tio Conejo wasn't paying attention. It was hot. The sun was blazing down. And quien se acercó? Who came sneaking up behind him? El gato malo y tonto, that mean, dumb cat, Señor Tigre. Okay, Tio Conejo, ya te pesqué. I've caught you now. Tú eres un conejo muerto. You are one dead rabbit. Uh-oh. Now, Tio Conejo knew one thing for sure. Señor Tigre was too close. He didn't have time to run off. He was going to have to stay there and come up with a plan to get out of this mess. So he thought for just a minute and he said, okay, Señor Tigre, cómame. Cómame ahorita. Just eat me up right now. No quiero quedarme aquí. Cuando suceda, I don't want to be here when it happens. And he rolled his eyes dramatically and shook all over. Suceda? What's going to happen? Suceda que? Oh, Señor Tigre, you mean you haven't heard about it?
I haven't heard about what?
Señor Tigre. El huracán viene. A terrible hurricane's coming. This sudden heat is a sure sign of it. That hurricane is going to be here any minute.
Oh, no, el huracán. A mí no me gustan los huracanes.
I know you don't like hurricanes, Señor Tigre. I don't like them either. That's why I'm making this rope. I am going to tie myself down to something so I don't blow away.
Oh, espérate un momentito, Tio Conejo. You wait just a minute. Yo quiero que
Tú me amarás a mí. I want you to tie me down.
Yo no quiero volarme con el aire. I don't want to blow away.
Oh, Señor Tigre. I just love the way your mind works. Let's see what we can find to tie you down to. So they started looking around for something. Before long, they saw a big tree. Oh, Señor Tigre, mira este árbol. Look at this tree. Muy grande, muy fuerte. I bet this tree has stood up here strong through lots of hurricanes. Let's tie you up to this.
Oh, okay, pero bien fuerte.
Oh, yeah, good and tight. I'll tie you good and tight. So, Tio Conejo got Señor Tigre right up against that tree trunk, and he started wrapping rope around him. Bien fuerte, Señor Tigre? Tight enough?
Oh, un poquito más fuerte.
A little tighter. I can do that. And Tio Conejo, he pulled as hard as he could on those ropes and squeezed all the air out of Señor Tigre's lungs. Señor Tigre's eyes just about popped out of his head. Tio Conejo said, bien fuerte, ya?
Bien fuerte!
And as Señor Tigre tried to gasp, Tio Conejo, se fue como una chispa. He was out of there. Now, I don't have to tell you that Señor Tigre was not the most popular cat in the jungle. And it took him well into the next day to find somebody who would untie him and let him go. He finally talked a couple of monkeys into it. And they had just untied him and were about to run off, he reached up and grabbed one of those monkeys. He was ready to pop that monkey in his mouth, and he heard a voice up in the tree.
Ah, Señor Tigre, no es la manera correcta de comer un chango.
Not the right way to eat a monkey? Well, I thought I knew how to eat a monkey.
No, Señor Tigre, you got to close your eyes, open your mouth, throw that monkey up in the air and let him just fall in. That's how you eat a monkey.
Oh, okay. So Señor Tigre repeated the instructions aloud. Cierra los ojos. Abre la boca, tira el chango. Close your eyes, open your mouth, throw the monkey.
He threw the monkey up and nothing happened. The monkey caught a branch of the tree. He was gone. But Tio Conejo was up in that tree. He had a big, long tamarindo seed pod. He had got a good aim on Señor Tigre's open mouth, and he threw that seed right down his throat. And Tio Conejo, se fue como una chispa. He was out of there.
Oh, Señor Tigre was coughing. He was sputtering. He was trying to get that seed out of there. And Tio Conejo was nowhere to be found. And it wasn't more than a couple of days after that. It was market day, el día del mercado. And Tio Conejo was hungry. Señor Tigre had eaten up all the food from the small animals. And Tio Conejo had an idea how he might get his paws on some of Señor Tigre's big white cheeses that he was going to be taken to the market to sell that day. He was famous for those cheeses. So Tio Conejo ran down to the market road.
He knew Señor Tigre would take that road to get there. Y se acostó en el camino como un conejo muerto. He lay down on that road like he was a dead rabbit. Closed his eyes, stuck out his tongue, and laid there. Pretty soon, Señor Tigre came down that road. Oh, un conejo muerto, a dead rabbit. He tastes pretty good. I'm going to pick him up on my way back. And he kept on walking down the road. Well, as soon as Señor Tigre was out of sight, Tio Conejo jumped up and he took a shortcut through the jungle, got ahead of Señor Tigre, y se acostó otra vez como conejo muerto. He lay down again like a dead rabbit. Señor Tigre came down that road. He said, whoa. He scratched his tiger head and he thought for a minute. He was a little bit confused, but then he remembered what he had just seen. He pointed back behind him and he said, un conejo muerto. And then he looked down in front of him and he said, dos conejos muertos. They're going to make me a fine rabbit stew. Un guisado de conejo sabroso. I'm going to pick this one up on my way back too. And he kept on walking down the road. Soon as he was out of sight, Tio Conejo jumped up again, took another shortcut, got ahead one more time, and lay down again like he was a dead rabbit. He didn't move. He didn't twitch. No movió ni una pestaña. He just lay there real dead. Well, Señor Tigre came around the bend in that road. He was dreaming about a fine rabbit stew. Thought maybe he'd open up his own restaurant. He'd call it Señor Tigre's Roadkill Cafe. He saw that third dead rabbit. He lost all control. Otro conejo muerto. Voy a comer esos conejos ahora mismo. I'm going to eat these rabbits right now. And he threw down his cheeses and went running back to get those other two dead rabbits. Soon as Señor Tigre was out of sight, Tio Conejo jumped up. He grabbed those cheeses and Tio Conejo se fue como una chispa. He was out of there. Now he did lay low all the rest of the day, staying out of the way of Señor Tigre. But it got to be evening. He took those cheeses over to the river, got up on a big rock, propped himself up, took a big bite out of one of those cheeses. It was a beautiful evening. Full moon coming up in the sky. Tio Conejo was really enjoying himself and he wasn't paying attention, but I bet you know who came sneaking up behind him. El gato malo y tonto, otra vez, that mean dumb cat, Señor Tigre.
Oh, okay, Tio Conejo, ya te pesqué, I've got you now. Y te voy a comer ahora mismo. I'm going to eat you right now because you took my cheeses.
And he started stomping and crying and carrying on. Tio Conejo said, Señor Tigre, cálmate. Cálmate ahorita. Estos son quesitos. Those are just little bitty cheeses. Fine cat like you carrying on like that when the biggest cheese of them all is floating out there in that river. Está flotando en el río. And he pointed out to the light of the moon reflecting off the river water. Señor Tigre stopped. His eyes got big. He looked out there. He said, oh, Tio Conejo, tú tienes razón.
Es un queso muy grande. That is a big cheese. I know it's big. I was about to jump out there and get it myself, Señor Tigre, when you sneaked up behind me, scaring me half to death.
Oh, no, no, no. Espérate un momentito, tío Conejo. No, no, no. I'm the one who deserves that cheese. After all, you took mine.
Oh, Señor Tigre, I just love the way your mind works. You know something? I do believe you deserve that cheese. Just jump on out there and get it.
I can't exactly do that.
You can't exactly do that, Señor Tigre?
No.
What's that, Señor Tigre? Can't you swim? No puedes nadar?
Not exactly.
Not exactly. Oh, Señor Tigre, qué suerte. This is your lucky day because I, Tio Conejo, am a world-class swimming instructor. I can teach you everything you need to know.
Todo? Todito?
Todito, Señor Tigre. I teach you real fast, too. Stand right here on the edge of the river. You get ready. I'm going to give you a big push, and you're just going to jump as hard as you can. Salta tan fuerte que puedas. And you just grab hold of that cheese. It's going to keep you.
Okay.
All right, Señor Tigre. Listo? Uno. Dos. Tres. Oh, Tio Conejo pushed him as hard as he could. Adios, Señor Tigre. Y Tio Conejo se fue como una chispa. He was out of there. Oh, Señor Tigre, he was coughing. He was sputtering. He was trying to get that cheese. Lucky for him, a log floated by, and he grabbed hold of that log and floated on down the river. He came around a bend in the river, and he saw Tio Conejo up on the riverbank just laughing and holding his sides. He shook one big tiger claw at him. He said, Tio Conejo, algún día te pescaré. One of these days I'm going to catch you. Tú eres un conejo muerto. But when Señor Tigre looked back at the bank of the river, Tio Conejo was nowhere to be seen. Porque Tio Conejo se fue como una chispa. And that's his story.
Fantastic. That's two for the price of one right there. Now, Houston Storytellers Guild is one of our sponsors. It's a great place, these guilds, to learn the art of storytelling. The Houston Guild meets virtually on the fourth Tuesday of every month. You can find out the details on their website, houstonstorytellers.org. There's also the Tejas Storytelling Association and, of course, the National Storytelling Network. Now, Mary Ann, we're pushing against it here, but I think we've got time for one more story from you. And this one is Coyote and Cicada, I believe.
Now, for this story, I'm going to use my spoons to be the buzzing sound of the cicada. Up in the trees, cicada is singing. Cicada is singing up in the tree. En el árbol, chicharra canta. Chicharra, chicharra, canta ya. Down the road came Coyote.
Whoa, chicharra, I like that song. Get down here and sing it to me. Bájate,
Y cántamela. Señor Coyote did not know how to say please. Nunca decía por favor. Señor Coyote, how nice to see you. Well, I guess I could sing it one time. En el árbol, chicharra, canta, chicharra, chicharra, canta ya. Up in the trees, cicada is singing, cicada is singing. Up in the trees, in el árbol, chicharra, canta, chicharra, chicharra, canta ya. Now you try it, Señor Coyote.
All right, I will.
Now there's one thing you need to know about Señor Coyote. Señor Coyote no puede cantar. He cannot sing a note. Señor Coyote cannot chew gum and walk at the same time. Señor Coyote is what we call rhythmically challenged. So when he tried to sing the song, it sounded like this.
Chicharra canta en el árbol, chicharra canta ya. How was that?
Oh, Señor Coyote, that needs a lot of work. A lot of work. Let me think. Why don't you sing it with me, Señor Coyote? Canta conmigo. Up in the trees, cicada is singing. Cicada is singing. Up in the trees.
In el árbol, chicharra canta. Chicharra, chicharra, canta ya. How was that?
Oh, Señor Coyote, that needs a lot of work, a lot of work. But it's going to have to do. So why don't you just go on home? So Señor Coyote started down the road for home trying to sing Chicharra's song. But Señor Coyote is one of these people. You might know somebody like this. When they concentrate really hard, they close their eyes. So Coyote's walking down the road with his eyes closed. Not very smart. And that's why he never saw the rabbit hole.
In an árbol chicharra.
And he fell right in the rabbit hole. Oy! Me duele la pata. I think I broke my foot. Somebody call 911.
Wait a minute.
¿Cómo se canta la canción? How does that song go?
Chicharra canta. Oh, no. Well, I'll just go back and make Chicharra sing it again.
So we went back down the road. Oh, Señor Coyote, I thought you went home.
Well, I tried to go home, but there was this rabbit dug a hole right where I would fall in it and made me forget my song. You get down here and sing it again. Bájate, cántamela.
Señor Coyote did not know how to say please.
Nunca decía, por favor.
Oh, I guess I could sing it one more time, Señor Coyote. Up in the trees, cicada is singing, cicada is singing. Up in the tree,
in el árbol, chicharra canta. I got it.
And off he went down the road. Now, Señor Coyote, he kept his eyes open this time, and he was doing pretty well, but he didn't notice the fire ants. By the time he got those ants off of him, you know what the problem was. He couldn't remember a bit of the song.
Well, I'll just go back and get Chicharra to sing it again.
So he went back down the path. But what he didn't know was that Chicharra was fed up with Señor Coyote and his bad manners. She wasn't going to sing it again. In fact, she decided to play a little trick on him. She split open her shell and she climbed out. Salió de su casca. And she got a little rock, una piedrita, the same size that she was. She put that rock in the shell. Looked like she was in there, but she wasn't.
She hid down under the ground and waited for Coyote to come back. Pretty soon he came down that path.
Chichar, these fire ants got all over me, made me forget my song. Now you get out here and sing it again.
Señor Coyote did not know how to say, please.
Nunca decía, por favor. Chicharra, no me escuchas. Bájate.
Okay, now listen to me. I'm on count to four. You better get down here by the time I count to four, because if you don't, I'm just going to eat you up.
Te voy a comer. Uno, dos, tres. Andale, Chichara. Cuatro.
He grabbed Chichara off of that tree and popped her into his mouth, and Coyote bit down as hard as he could.
Ow! Ow, 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 ow!
Rompió todos los dientes. He broke off all the teeth in the back of his mouth. He went running down to the river to get a drink of water. Chichara was under the ground listening to the whole thing. She was loving it till she thought about it a minute. Coyote would be back. And when he got back, ooh, he was going to be mad. So Chichara decided to stay put. And that, my friends, is what the cicada has done. She stays down under the ground for years and years at a time, hiding from Coyote. Until one hot summer's day, she comes up out of the ground, puts her claws into a tree, splits open that shell, and she flies up high into that tree. And there she sings more loudly than any other insect in the summer, just to make Coyote mad. You listen this summer and you see if you can hear her sing, and you'll know her song. En el árbol, chicharra canta, chicharra, chicharra, cicada, cicada, chicharra, chicharra, canta ya.
Well, thank you very much, Mary Ann Blue. We are just about to wrap up here. I want to thank Mary Ann for coming out and giving us some fine stories tonight. This is Houston's Community Station, KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day. And make the choice to become a member. Become a sustaining member if you can. It helps us. It helps us keep this programming going. My name is Larry Thompson. We'll be here next Thursday for So What's Your Story? Keep on loving great stories. We'll keep bringing them to you. Thank y'all.
Hi, this is the Blues Hound.
And I'm Colleen.
Please join us on Sundays between the hours of 2 and 5 p.m. for Hound the Blues, where you'll hear us spinning the best new blues releases we can get our hands on. Whether it's the newest contemporary artist or simply old school cool, we'll bring the blues to you in all of its many flavors, commercial free and with as little talk as possible.
Thanks for inviting us into your homes each week and giving us the privilege to serve as your link to the blues world and our local blues community.
That's Hound the Blues, Sundays from 2 to 5 p.m. right here on 90.1 FM KPFT. Houston's Community Station.
Hello, fellow listeners. I'm Robin from the Membership Department here at KPFT, and I'm here with Julianne Malvo.
You know, Robin, we have had the kind of conversations that you don't hear many other places. There are lots of media outlets, not as many that are as profound and pointed as the Pacifica stations. We talk about the economy, we talk about politics, we talk about race, and we talk about gender. We also talk about you and what's on your mind.
Thank you, Dr. Malvo, host of Julianne Malvo Live, which airs on KPFT on Monday mornings at 8 a.m.
Hi, this is Purell, And I support KPFT Radio because I love listening to the blues programming, the rock programming. The Deadbeat program is my favorite. Just saying. So please join me in supporting KPFT Community Radio, radio that you cannot get on any other type of commercial station. Please call to donate at 713-526-5738 or donate on KPFT